Welcome to today's episode of Flock Talk. We're switching things up and bringing you a special feature from the Ontario Sheep Farmers Convention held this past October in Cambridge. We're excited to share one of the presentations with you from this year's event, delivered by Dr. Andrew Peregrine. Dr. Peregrine earned his DVM and PhD from the University of Glasgow and has dedicated much of his career to parasitology research, including 9 years studying tropical parasites in cattle and small ruminants in Kenya. Currently, he's an associate professor of clinical parasitology at the Ontario Veterinary College at the University of Guelph, where he's been educating future veterinarians since 1997. His research focuses on sustainable parasite control in sheep and emerging parasite infections affecting both animals and humans. In this presentation, Dr. Peregrine delivers a crucial topic for livestock farmers: farm dogs and carcass condemnations. Get ready for an in-depth discussion that explores how parasite management and farm practices intersect, providing insights that are sure to be valuable for farmers and animal health professionals alike. Let's dive in.
I was asked today to talk about a parasite of sheep that's called Tinea ovis, or sheep measles, as it can be a significant cause of condemnation of sheep carcasses. And just very recently, Anita O'Brien decided to look into this and got information from provincial slaughterhouses in Ontario on the proportion of all animals at slaughter that are being condemned totally for this parasite. And this graph shows the data that Anita obtained over the last 6 years, from January of 2019 on the left to July of this year on the right. And the blue line indicates the proportion of condemned carcasses each month over that period. If you look at the blue line, you can see it's bouncing and up and down, with a peak typically in March, April every year. But most significantly, if you look at the yellow line, that is the overall trend over the last 6 years. And if you look from left to right, from 2019 to 2024, you can see it's actually gone up significantly. The proportion of condemned carcasses has gone up fourfold over the last 6 years, from about 0.01% to 0.04%. Now, the trouble is, from these data, it's impossible to know the geographic origin of any of these animals. Likewise, we don't know the age of the animals that are being condemned from these data. However, from past experience, it's very likely most of these animals are lamb carcasses that are being condemned. So what is Tinea ovis, or sheep measles? What does it look like, and why are carcasses being condemned? This is one condemned carcass, and I've put on it three arrows to indicate three lesions or cysts that are associated with this parasite. And you can see in this muscle on the outer surface of this carcass, there are what look like abscesses that are about a centimeter in diameter. So it causes cysts in skeletal muscle, and it also causes cysts in cardiac or heart muscle. This is a heart from a condemned carcass. These two arrows indicate two cysts, parasite cysts in this heart. There's actually another 10 or so in the same heart. So you get lesions, cysts in skeletal and cardiac muscle. When they first appear, they look like they do in this skeletal muscle, and they contain fluid. And if you remove the fluid and look at it, sitting inside each of these cysts is a baby or a larval tapeworm. And it's literally sitting there waiting to be eaten by another animal species. Now, initially, you get these fresh cysts with immature tapeworms sitting on them, but after about a year, they die and degenerate and switch over to looking like abscesses. And so here's three just in this part of a carcass that's been condemned. Why are these carcasses condemned? Well, I think not surprisingly, aesthetically, they're not considered suitable for human consumption. How does the life cycle of this parasite work? I've showed you the larval or the immature tapeworm that's sitting in muscle tissue of sheep, and it also occurs in goats. It's sitting there waiting to be eaten by any canid, either a domestic dog or a wild canid, such as a fox or coyote. Once they've eaten the infected sheep, they develop an adult tapeworm in their small intestine, and then they shed tapeworm eggs and segments in their feces. So how does the sheep get infected? By eating feed that's been contaminated with the eggs of this parasite in the feces of dogs or wild canids. So just to summarize then, this is a tapeworm that occurs as an adult tapeworm in the intestine of dogs and wild canids. The intermediate stage, or the larval stage, occurs in the muscle tissues of sheep and goats. And in those species, you find cysts in skeletal and cardiac muscle. This does not infect people. It's not a zoonotic concern, but it's an aesthetic significant issue. Most significantly, you see no clinical disease, either in sheep or in dogs. And unless, as a sheep farmer, you sell your animals direct to slaughter, you almost certainly don't know your animals are infected. But there definitely is an economic impact once these carcasses are either condemned or parts of carcasses are trimmed. So when is a carcass condemned? Well, our slaughterhouses follow the FAO guidelines, and if there are moderate or light infestations of carcasses, they're not condemned. So those are carcasses with small numbers of viable or dead cysts. What happens is those cysts are removed, and then the carcass is either frozen or heated, and after that it's then passed for consumption. But once there are heavy infestations, and the definition of that is cysts in 2 of 6 inspection sites, such as the tongue, esophagus, and heart, and they also find those cysts in 2 sites during incisions into the shoulder and the rounds. So if they're found in all 4 locations, the whole carcass is condemned. So how do sheep get infected? Well, as I said, it infects wild canids and domestic dogs, where they have adult tapeworms, and they shed segments of the tapeworm or eggs free in feces. And these animals can shed hundreds of thousands of eggs a day. Sheep get infected by ingesting those eggs. And so it's fecal contamination of dogs and wild canids, fecal contamination on pasture or hay or bedding and water, that's the source of infection. And the important thing to appreciate, these eggs can remain in the environment for 3 to 5 months. Once a sheep consumes those eggs, they're immediately infected to the animal. They get into the intestinal tract, they hatch, they burrow through the wall of the gut, and then they spread via the blood circulation to muscle tissue. And then they literally incise and develop into the immature tapeworm that I've already shown. Typically, you first start seeing lesions in muscle about 2 weeks after an animal's got infected, and it takes 2 to 3 months before those cysts are fully infective for a dog or a wild canid. And they can remain viable in muscle tissue up to a maximum of 12 months. They then die and switch over to looking like abscesses that I've shown you. So how do dogs and wild canids get infected? It's from consuming infective cysts in the muscle tissues of sheep. So how do they get infected? Either eating live or dead animals, or if they're fed fresh offal that's been uncooked. Once they get infected, it typically takes somewhere between 6 and 9 weeks before that animal is then, that dog is shedding eggs into that environment. Which dogs, which canids are most significant in the transmission of this infection to sheep? The general feeling is it's domestic dogs and not wild canids that are the primary source of the infection. Yes, coyotes and foxes and wolves can get infected, but the reality is wild canids typically don't poop on pasture or feed that's given to sheep. They typically will poop outside those environments, in contrast to domestic dogs. If you have a concern about this, and you likely wouldn't know you have this parasite unless you sell directly to slaughter, then you very much need to adhere to a biosecurity program. And this is an image that was sent to us from New Zealand. All right, it says restricted dog entry, sheep measles program operating. And what it says in the bottom left is dogs must be treated for sheep measles, that means for the tapeworm, before entering this area. So what are the things you can do to prevent infection in canids? Well, if you home slaughter, don't allow dogs or wild canids access to meat and offal. As far as dead stock management is concerned, it should be properly composted, buried, and fenced to prevent scavenging. How beneficial is preventing scavenging of sheep on farms? It turns out it's highly beneficial. And we know that from a study that was carried out in Canada just over 10 years ago, but right across the country. They looked at this issue. And farms on which dogs were observed to scavenge dead stock were found to be 4 times more likely to have this parasite than on farms where dogs were not observed scavenging dead stock. More, even more significantly, farms on which there was no disposal of dead stock were 12 times more likely to have this parasite than on farms where there was dead stock disposal. So preventing scavenging of sheep is incredibly beneficial as reducing the risk of infection. What are some of the other things to appreciate? If you use sheep meat for dog food, you can kill those cysts doing one of two things. If you freeze them at least down to minus 10 degrees centigrade or colder for a minimum of 10 days, that will kill the parasite. And so if that meat is then fed to dogs, it does not result in infections. Cooking tissues up to a core temperature of at least 72 degrees centigrade kills the parasite. And so it then won't result in a parasite infection in a dog. Obviously, we should be taking measures to reduce predation by wild canids, but as I said just now, we think that the vast majority of infections on farms occurs from domestic dogs and not wild canids, because very little pooping by wild canids occurs on pasture, on feed for sheep. If you have a concern, you should also be routinely treating your dogs for this tapeworm infection. And ideally, they should be treated every 4 to 6 weeks with one of two tapeworm drugs that we have in this country, either praziquantel or epsiprantel. Those are the only two drugs for dogs that kill this parasite. And typically, if you buy dewormers from a store rather than through your vet, typically the drugs in the stores don't contain either of these two drugs. But they can be expensive drugs, and I'd encourage you to talk to your veterinarian, because there are some cheaper options that we do have access to in Canada, because I appreciate it's a lot of money if you have a lot of dogs. One other thing to appreciate is one of the ways this parasite typically gets onto a farm is with a puppy or a dog that's brought onto the farm for the first time. And the standard recommendation is when any dog comes onto the farm for the first time, whatever the age, treat it with one of the two drugs I've mentioned, and then just keep it indoors for a few days before you pass it into the environment, so that any passing of eggs and tapeworm segments is finished after treatment in feces before they're turned outside. So in summary, why is Ontario seeing an increase in the number of condemned carcasses? The reality is we don't know, and this is something that needs looking into. I think many people are unaware of the problem, as slaughter data typically doesn't go back to the farm of origin unless you send direct to slaughter. I think perhaps we've become complacent, and please feel free to respond to that. We haven't talked about this for a few years ago. We did about 12 years ago when there was a problem, and then the problem went away. I think, Anita, is that fair? It went away, and so we assumed we didn't have the problem. And Anita, thanks for looking into this, because it's clearly coming back. Now, whether that's Ontario infections or because we're importing infections from elsewhere in Canada, I don't know. 10 years ago, a lot of the infections were imported animals from Western Canada, but there were certainly infections being acquired locally, and that's something to be looked into. The other thing just to appreciate, as far as the impact of condemnations, the buyers and purchasers who get the slaughter data, typically we found out historically, if they know the farm of origin or the region of origin of infected animals, they are significantly more reluctant to buy from those areas or farms in the future. The last thing just to appreciate is if you have a control program for this parasite, you also have a control program for two other very closely related parasites of sheep that have very, very similar life cycles. And so you'll also control these. One is called Tinea hydatigena, the other is called Echinococcus granulosus. They don't cause carcass condemnations, but they do cause condemnation of liver and lungs. And if you will control these if you have a control program for Tinea ovis. Thanks very much for your attention.
Hey, Aaron, what's new going on at OSF?
A huge thank you to our sponsors and our trade show participants at our 2024 Ontario Sheep Farmers AGM and Convention. Our sponsors were Dufferin Veterinary Hospital, Farmers Depot, Grover Nutrition, Midwest Co-op, and Premier Equipment. And our trade show participants were Agricultural Credit Corporation, Ag Sites, Canadian Cattle Identification Agency, U-Manage, Floridale Feed Mill, Gallagher Animal Management, Grover Nutrition, J-Lore, Jones Feed Mill, Liquid Feeds, Maple View Agra, Master Feeds, Ontario Federation of Agriculture, the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, Ontario Forage Council, Ontario Soil and Crop, Red Maple Homestead, Serval Canada, Tapari, Vreen's Nutrition, Wallenstein Feeds, and Zudavart's Agri Import. Thank you to all of our sponsors and trade show participants.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Flock Talk, brought to you by the Ontario Sheep Farmers. We hope you enjoyed today's insights and learned something valuable to bring back to your own farm or organization. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe where you get your podcasts. And remember, you can always find more resources and updates on our website and social media channels. Until next time, keep your flocks healthy, stay informed, and keep supporting Ontario's sheep farming community. Thanks for listening.